Amen, amen. That's good, brother. I told somebody he sang it just like I taught him. Anybody who knows me knows that's not true. Everything I taught him, he left off and sang the rest. What a beautiful auditorium, all dressed up for Christmas. Amen, don't you think? It's this beautiful place. And thank God for all the people who worked hard to get it to look like this. It takes a little bit to do that. And we're concluding today a series on what I'm thankful for. And there's several things I am thankful for. I couldn't include all of them. I just did some of them. And today I want to talk to you about how I'm thankful for God's presence. I think in some ways, this is the most important in a lot of ways as we go through this. Not an unfamiliar psalm, Psalm 139. So if you'd turn in your Bibles to Psalm 139, we'll begin looking at His presence. First part of this beautiful psalm, we said God knows everything. Now I'm going to tell you a story before I get into the passage, which I just decided to do that. So it was planned. I was leading a Bible study when I was a pastor in Massachusetts for 26 years. And I think the first year I was there, I was leading a Bible study in someone's home. They had five or six kids. It was, a bunch of people. And for me to go to their house was easier for all of them to get to the Bible study. So I said, I'll just come to your house and we'll have a Bible study. There were about a dozen or so people always at that Bible study. And one particular time I was talking about how God knows everything and that He knows what you did last night. He knows what you're going to do next year. And He knows it. And it was a very informal group of people who did not understand decorum. And they said, hold it just a minute. Say that again? God knows that. I was just introducing the Bible study. God knows everything and He knows what you did last night. He knows what I did last night? I mean, this was a verbal outburst. And I thought, yes, He does. And they looked horrified. And I thought, I didn't grow up going to church, but somewhere along the lines, I did catch on. God knows everything. But they just heard it for the first time. Imagine hearing and understanding for the first time in your life that God knows everything. That's pretty powerful. Well, we know that because God's Word says it. And so here's a passage. So, Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before. That's a word that means He has encircled you. He is surrounding you. And laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. It would be a tremendous thing if everybody in the world would understand these verses, that God knows everything, that He knows you, that he has everything that you ever think or will ever say He already knows ahead of time because He's God. He knows everything. Before He said in the beginning, let there be light, He knew what you're going to be thinking right now. He knows everything. Now that ought to give you some great security or great horror. I don't know. It's amazing to me with sometimes when people will think somehow if I can hide from God or if I can hide something from God. No, you can't do that. But then that is not really what I want to talk about so much. That's the terrible part that I thought I could hide from God. You can't even hide from the people around you. People know how bad you are, even if you don't know they know it. You thought you were hiding and getting away with it. Well, you might get away with something with people, but not with God. And the beauty of it is, the God that knows everything loves you. He doesn't love you because you're good, because you're not. He loves you because He loves you. He made the decision to love you. His nature is to love. So get that through all of that. And it'd be nice if we could just pause and say, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I just can't attain to this knowledge. You know, we have a group of people in the world. Now, don't be insulted if you consider yourself in this category, but you don't consider yourself in this category. An intellectual. You know, there are intellectuals who understand that they can't know everything. But then there's a group of guys, I think they can know everything. And they're like, if I don't know it, it can't be known. So if God knows more than you do, you have to remove God so that you look so wonderful. But you really don't look so wonderful. You look pretty sad thinking that you know so much. The smartest people among us will say, I cannot attain to it. I can't know everything. I can't know what God knows. So God knows everything. There's a fancy word for that, omniscience. The omniscience of God, that's for the theologians in the group. Somebody will come up to me after the service and say, you should have said that that's God's omniscience. So now I said it, now you know. Just trying to cover all the bases. Not only do God know everything, God is everywhere. This is a fascinating thing to think about. I've heard of people saying, I wish I could be in two places at once, but I would pull a muscle, so I can't quite do that. The psalmist, this is David, by the way, the psalmist David. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. Now, this word Sheol is not translated here. That's actually the Hebrew word. And probably the best translation for this word in this passage, in this context, the word Sheol, which is sometimes translated hell, and that's where a lot of people run to it. But the concept is the grave, when you die. You know, and there is that concept that when you die, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. And so that is in the thought process. But David, I think, is saying, you know, if he's talking about himself, where can I go from your spirit? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my grave, you're there. And we get deep theological, you know, put on your swimmies, we're going to get in the deep end of the pool. And now don't do what one little boy did. He put his swimmies on his ankles. And he jumped in, and he needed some help. You don't breathe out of the bottom of your feet. He found that out. So we're going to put them where this, you know, keep us above the water. But the presence of God is everywhere. Now there is, I'm going to close the service at the end with a passage that will talk about the presence of God in a different way. But everybody, there's a presence of God in judgment. And there's a presence of God in comfort. A presence of God in strengthening. So God in His very nature, who He is always the same. He says, I am the Lord, I change not, He says. So He doesn't change. It's what happens around us. It appears like things are changing. But to God, He's always the same. So He's always merciful, always just, always, He's always angry. The wrath of God abides upon the children of disobedience. He's always loving, always caring. He's always the same. And so you get a hold of that concept. But anyway, so even those who are separated from God forever, we'll talk about at the end, in essence, God is there. God is there. And you know, in the Old Testament, when we're talking about the temple, and there's the holy place, and then there's the most holy place where the presence of God is. Well, God's presence is all over the place, but there's His special presence. We call it the Shekinah glory. Presence of God was in that most holy place. We talk about that, and we don't really know much about what that is like. We read about it in the scriptures, but and yet, I had a taste of that, and you did too. If you receive Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, when you surrender your life to Christ, there's that presence of God that is overwhelming to your soul. So we know what it's like to have His presence. And there's sometimes you'll talk, we'll talk about it. We're church people. The world doesn't understand us. We kind of talk about, man, the presence of God was especially strong in the service today. And what do we mean by that? Well, God wasn't here last week. You know, I don't think so. I don't think that's the way it works. But what happens is, it's almost like, this is going to be hard for some of you. There used to be I'm going to talk like Mr. Rogers now. There used to be a thing called a radio. And when you had to find the station, it made a noise like that, because the tuner had to find the right place for you to get the station. If you know what I'm talking about, raise your hand real high. Yes, these are called old people. Yeah, that's what. Yes, and the rest of you, there won't be a test, so don't worry. But that's kind of what's going on. Any given Sunday when we get together, you might not be tuned in. You might be going to say, what's the pastor talking about now? I don't know. Is it time to eat? What's going on? I don't know. People, that's kind of the way it works. But when you're really tuned in, and by the way, you know that radio waves are all over. You know, you don't see them, but they're there. And all you got to do is get your tuner in the right place, and there you are. And so we need to get in tune with God's presence. And when you're in tune with God's presence, that's why in a service like this, somebody can be especially moved by God's Spirit and be touched by God's Spirit. And somebody else is wondering, you know, when we're going to get out of here. In the same room. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Where can I go? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Castaway. It was starring one person. Almost one person. I mean, imagine Tom Hanks in that movie Castaway. If you haven't seen it, you know, it's kind of interesting to watch. But now, think about this. If you're the character that works for FedEx and your plane crashes and you're stranded and you're in the sea, and then you wash up on this deserted island and all the stuff, and then now you're going to try to get back to civilization. So you make a raft and you take off, you and Wilson. And, you know. Now that guy thought that he was alone. Now, I don't want to be stranded in the middle of the sea. That is not my idea. That's like being, you know, lunch for somebody. Sitting on just, I don't want to be somebody's lunch. But if I were there, I would not be alone. And Wilson would not be my best friend. Wilson! Wilson! Where are these two kids? He floated away. He was a volleyball. We don't need a volleyball. Yeah, somebody's going to have to watch the movie, I guess. I don't know. But God is always there. If I'm in the middle of the ocean by myself, so to speak, I don't know. I've got God with me. His presence is with me. I may not feel like it. And then again, I might feel like it. It doesn't matter how you feel. The truth is still there. He always, 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 always will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. God is always present with me. This is the greatest thing ever. I know, let's get together every week and just have music and talk about God. Well, okay. We've already been doing that because of His presence, because He loves us so much. He's revealed Himself to us, and He's with us. He is with us. When you're by yourself, you're not. A lot of people battle loneliness. Loneliness is a terrible thing, but you're never really alone. As a matter of fact, you need to practice the presence of God. Just practice, you'll get good at it. That is becoming aware of God's presence. Especially near He is to you who have believed, and He is there. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the dark and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. What? Linville Caverns. Howe's Caverns in New York. Carlsbad Caverns, is that in New Mexico? Where is that? Somewhere, anyway. Have you ever been in one of those? The stalactites and the stalagmites, and how beautiful it is until they turn the lights off. Yeah, do they do that everywhere you go? They get you all down in the middle of the earth and turn the lights off. Now everybody's got a phone now. But when you didn't have one and turn the lights off, you know, I mean, it starts getting thick, like it's caving in on you. You know what I'm talking about? That darkness. To God, it's just like a bright day. There's no darkness to Him. He can see in the dark. He can see through the dark. He can see around the dark. He can see you in the dark. He sees everything. Now, I find this very comforting, especially when I'm in the dark. Somebody says, I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of what's in the dark. Well, God knows what's in the dark. God knows everything. To God, it's dark. This is fascinating. The psalmist is just pouring out his heart to God, and he's talking about God, and he's saying things about God. Here's something the world needs to get a hold of. God is the creator. You formed me. You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Everybody is made by God. Everybody. Every person. Everybody is formed by God in the mother's womb. Everybody. Now, before you're born, you can't communicate as much. I know sometimes they do a little bit of punching and kicking, and they get noticed that way by mom especially. But you don't get to say much before you're born. But if you could, you would say, you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb. You could say that. And so since the people who can't say it yet, we ought to say it for them. Every baby, before the baby is born, from conception until birth, is a human being created by Almighty God. Hands off. Take your hands off. And every government that says it's legal ought to be reprimanded by Almighty God. And I'll tell you, say what you want to say about it, it's already happened. We're in the shape we're in because of the shape we're in. That's what's wrong with us. We've ignored Almighty God. We've ignored telling our children that God made you act like it. You're not an animal. You didn't come from animals. God made you. You're made in the image of God. You belong to Him. Preach it, brother. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. God created you, and He's already fashioned everything about you. So I wish I were taller. I wish I were shorter. I wish I were prettier. What are you doing? God fashioned you the way He fashioned you, the way that you are. You're unique. You're the only one that's you. You know, somebody said nobody has the same thumbprint you do. You are a thumb body. Remember that. And don't let anybody try to make you be something else. You're God. But not only that, every day of your life is written in the books of God. What's that mean? He has a book up there and he's writing this stuff down? Well, for people who don't understand, the language is for us. God has a record of every day of your life, every minute of every day, and you think he's not even paying me attention. I pray and he doesn't answer me, and I'm not getting everything that I want to get. God is just ignoring me. I don't even know if there is a God. You get to that point. What are you doing? He made you. And every day of your life, and the very last day of your life, he already knows what it is, and I don't want him to tell me when it is for me. I don't want to know. I'm just living my life, letting God lead me, and he is every part of it. This ought to be comforting to us. It should be very comforting to us. It is to me. I'm feeling pretty good right now. I'm feeling like, well, thank you, Lord. Now, there are many reminders that God gives us that He is the one in charge. Like when you get going about your life and ignoring God, sometimes there'll be a little bit of a health, maybe a health challenge. We call them a health challenge. You get sick or something's not working right. You got to go to the doctor and he scratches his head and says, I don't know. I don't think they ever say that. I think they say it's a virus. Now, if you're a doctor, don't be offended by that. I'm just kidding. I was talking about all the other doctors. Not you. Yeah, you know, a lot of things like that. God's, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. You go to sleep, your brain doesn't go to sleep. Still working. So many things. I wonder what's really going on when you're asleep. I'm not going to get into that because I don't know anything about it, but I wonder about it and I think. But then I wake up, there. You were there when I went to sleep. I wake up, you're still there. Good morning, Lord. You're still there. That's a comforting thing to me. The last part of this is more complex. Not more complex in that it's more vast to understand, because the first part, how do you understand any of that? But this part is just like us. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed. Is this in the same psalm? Did we just turn a corner? This is a psalmist. And he's talking about how great God is. And he said, oh, that you would slay the wicked. Oh, by the way, and he will. He will do that. And the psalmist seems to know that, right? For they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. God's enemies take his name in vain. What is that about? What is that talking about? You know, one of the commandments, you should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. What is that talking about? Well, Pastor, everybody knows that's cussing. Well, everybody might know that, but everybody needs to know what it's talking about. Not just that. Taking the name of the Lord in vain is saying, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of God. I'm a follower of Christ. When you're not. Pretending to be a follower of God, but you're not. That's taking the name of the Lord in vain. Did you know that? Taking it emptily, in an empty way. That's what that's talking about. Preach on the Ten Commandments. That's something to think about. So there they are. God's enemies take his name in vain. So a lot of religious people talk about God. Sometimes they give him different names, but they don't know him. That's the enemies of God. Wow. Here you go. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. So, Pastor, stop it. You're not supposed to talk like that in church. I'm just reading the Bible. David is expressing his heart. Have you ever focused so much on God and how God is and who God is that you began to have the same enemies he has? That's what David is doing. And he's expressing to God his thoughts. And if you're going to express thoughts to God that you shouldn't have, express them to God. Tell God. What are you feeling? What do you think? God, I'm angry. I'm upset. I hate people. You're not supposed to hate people. You're supposed to love people. Jesus said, love your enemies. How do you do that? You can't. Apart from Jesus Christ doing it through you. It's impossible without Christ to love your enemies. And David's struggling. David is struggling. Don't you think he is? Do you struggle when Hamas attacks Israel? Does that kind of make you think, hey, something needs to happen here? What's going on here? You hear about the slaughter of innocent people and you think, that's not right. That's not right. It's never been right. You know what disturbs me? I can't give you the long list, but I'll just give you one on the long list. People who are for slaughtering babies are against slaughtering some babies. Know what I'm saying? Hamas takes Jewish children and kills them. That's terrible. You say, that's unjust. That's terrible. And yet you're for abortion. Now, if you have any doubt in your mind about being for or against abortion, let me set you straight. You should be against it. It's called killing babies. Why don't you just call it that? So, well, you don't want an unwanted child. Who gets to decide who's wanted? You ought to be wanted for your crime. Something's wrong with that. It's not even a debatable thing in the Bible. I don't know what you've been reading, but you ought to start reading the Bible. I think you know what I'm talking about. I'm preaching to the choir. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the everlasting way. This is like, did you see what he said? I hate your enemies. Your enemies are my enemies, Lord. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. You have any anxious thoughts? Are you anxious about God's enemies? Because in David's case, a lot of times God's enemies were coming after him. And I'll tell you one thing. If you live for Jesus Christ, God's enemies are coming after you. Oh, they might not come after you directly at first, but they're coming after you. They've already been after you. But you know what they're really after? They're after your children. Oh, that's how they get you. They get your children. They're stealing our children away from us. You know, they didn't, somebody, they took prayer out of schools and they took, you know, the Bible out of schools. This, my whole lifetime, this has been a problem. And I don't care what education you have. If you don't know the Bible, you don't have a good education. You just don't. I mean, it will not be a, you know, some biology book or some kind of science book, claim to be science, not really science kind of book, you're going to be judged by at the judgment. That's not what you're going to be judged by. You're going to be judged by this book, by God's Word. Just telling you, better get ready for finals. It's time we stood up and said no. No to the world and yes to Jesus. That's what I want to see. Because if we don't, our kids will never understand. Our kids will never understand, why in the world did you let it go like this so long? Why didn't you do something about it? Why didn't you change something? Why didn't you stand up? It's kind of sad. And it's come to the place where our kids sometimes think we don't know what we're talking about. I want to tell you right now, I know what I'm talking about. There's not a soul in this world can stand toe-to-toe with what I'm talking about, because I work for God. His word is true and eternal. And I want to tell you what, there's no debate in heaven on what's going on right now in this book. You don't have to be the brightest person in the world to understand some of the things that God has written to us in his word. It's like he made it so wonderfully clear that children can get a hold of it. And it's so deep, theologians drown in it. But it's beautiful. And I love that I have the task of teaching God's word on a regular basis in this place. This is just so wonderful to me. I love it. There are some hard parts to this that I can't avoid, and I don't really want to avoid. It's not my favorite part of the job. And that's this part. I want to read to you from the inspired word of God from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus, will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not finished, but I just want to let it set in who he's talking about. Those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel, the good news that Jesus loved you so much he gave himself for you on the cross, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, that you can have eternal life, a personal relationship with Almighty God through Jesus Christ our Lord, available to you because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But if perish you insist on, perish you will. That's what this passage is saying. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Away from the presence of the Lord. I'm thankful today for the presence of the Lord, the comfort it is to know that God is always near me, that he created me, sustains me, he encircles me, he provides for me, he leads me, he loves me. He knows everything about me and loves me anyway. He, every part of every day of my life, every minute of everything I'm going through, he's always there, even when I don't feel like he's there. But there's coming a time when those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be sent away from the presence of God. So think about this. Right now, every person who has not received Christ, there's some semblance of God's presence in their lives. They look at creation and see that God has made all of this. They look, hold a newborn baby and see the image of God. Look what God has done. But there's coming a time that will be not enjoyed by anybody who doesn't know God and does not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, when is this going to happen? When he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. Jesus Christ returns as the day of the Lord's wrath will take place. Flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who have rejected him. Well, Pastor, this is not a very great Thanksgiving season kind of preaching here. I don't know. That's what you don't get. This is the Thanksgiving preaching. We can thank God that we're not being judged anymore. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, that we're not condemned anymore. I said there is therefore now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We've got a lot to be thankful for. And every person who rejects God and rejects Jesus and all, they don't have anything to say about it. The offer's been made. The payment's been paid. Jesus is Lord. And if you reject him, there's no hope for you. We can't help you. But I've got something to be thankful for. Even though I deserve to go to hell, even though I deserve the condemnation of God, I deserve judgment, I don't get it because Jesus paid it all for me. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior unashamedly. I want the whole world to know. Not just some religious thing we do once a week in this room. It's a life. Jesus is the life. It's the way, the truth, and the life. It's not just something that you go and do. It's something that you are because Jesus moved in. Like one little girl said, Bible school is always fun. Sunday school is always fun with the kids. That's where the deepest theology is. And we're talking to a little girl about you need to ask Jesus into your heart. Now, sometimes adults don't understand how to say things. And little girls at certain ages, in this particular case, we go, trying to think it all through, and she raised her hand. If I ask Jesus to come into my heart, won't he stick out? Yes, he will. She was thinking concretely, but there's some deep theological ramifications to what she said. When you come to Christ and he comes into your life, he sticks out. It's about high time everybody saw Jesus in us, don't you think? Now, I want you to know, I have been trying to manipulate you into receiving Christ. You probably didn't know it. I've been sneaking up behind you. I want to look across the portals of heaven and see every one of you there. I love you, and I want you to know Jesus. And I beg you, come to Christ so that you'll know Christ, so that you make sure that you're ready. Make sure that you're ready, because the days that you have on this earth are numbered by God, and you don't know. You don't know when the last day is. I've seen it with the newborns, stillborn. I don't know if the oldest person I ever saw pass away was 103, 108, I can't remember. That's a long time. And everything in between. Every age. So Pastor, you're trying to scare me. Yes. Absolutely. Wouldn't you be scared if you were about to die and didn't know whether you're going to heaven or hell? I think I'd be scared. But I also want to tell you, I'm not trying to scare you just to scare you. I'm trying to scare you into understanding how much God loves you. He wants you. And it's not some religious thing. It's a real thing where you just know the Almighty Lord of the universe. Surrender your life to Him. When you do, He'll come in and take over, and everything will begin to make sense. The lights will come on. Life will be sweeter because you'll be aware of His presence in your life. It's a tremendous truth from God's Word. And we've learned it a little bit today from Psalm 139. And so I want to beg you to come to Christ. As we have this invitation time, you just come as God will lead you. If you want to just come here and pray and ask Jesus to come into your life, we're going to pray in just a moment. And if you pray and receive Christ, then I'm going to ask you to step forward in just a little bit and come and make that public. Say, yes, I've received Christ. I'll help you. I've been up in front of people before. I'll help you. Somebody help me. So as we pray together, surrender your life to Christ. Please do that. Let's stand together. As we pray just now, if you're here to receive Christ, would you just pray and ask Him to come into your life? Father, we have come before You today, and we ask, Lord, that You'd help us. There are some here today who have never surrendered to Jesus, never surrendered their lives to You, Lord, and I pray that they would do that today, just simply crying out to You and saying, Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross to pay for my sins. And Jesus, I believe that You rose from the dead when after You were crucified, You rose from the dead, and that God's payment was accepted. As You made the payment on the cross, it was accepted by God the Father, and my sins are paid for. I believe that. And I believe that You're coming again to receive us unto Yourself, that where You are, there we may be also. I believe that. And so today I surrender my life to You and ask You to be my Lord and my Savior. Come in and take over my life, I pray. If that's you, you committed your life to Christ, surrendered your life to Jesus, we praise the Lord for your commitment today. If you're here today, and this Psalm 139 has reminded you of some of the things that are wrong in your life, you've been blaming God for things, you don't like how He's made you, and you've been upset with God about that, would you just tell Him, thank You for Your fearfully and wonderfully made? Would you just change your thinking on that? Well, maybe God hasn't done something you wanted Him to do in your life. Maybe this is a reminder. Every year at this time, there are things that have happened that you can't get peace because it always bothers you. Would you give that to Him and say, Jesus, I'm surrendering all of these difficult thoughts to You and all the things that I've been dwelling on for years. I'm surrendering it to You today because I know that You are present with me always, that You never leave me, You never forsake me, that You're always with me, and I've been reminded of Your presence today. And I know that I'm not alone and that You always know everything about me, and so I find comfort in that. If that's your prayer today, would you pray that? whatever else is on your mind, whatever's in your heart, some things going on this week that are difficult for you, would you turn that over to the Lord? And as we sing today, this invitation time, if you've committed your life to Christ, would you just come forward and tell me that, and we might pray together and celebrate together. So Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together.